Good morning and welcome to something completely different on Calon FM. I'm Heather Noble. It's Monday the 25th of January and starting the show with Deacon Blue and Fergus Sings the Blues because it's Burns night tonight. So if you're out there and if you are a native Scot that has moved down to the Wrexham and Calon broadcast area, then happy Burns night to you. Hope you've got your haggis and your neeps and tatties all sorted for this evening. We start with Fergus Sings the Blues because today we're going to be talking about SAD, Seasonal Affective Disorder. And I'm absolutely thrilled to welcome to the studio a regular on Calon FM, Ben Calder, who's often on the Diet, Health and Fitness show with Denise and Tracy. They both do it, don't they?
They do,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, they do, yeah. Yeah, so welcome, Ben. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Heather. Yeah, nice to be here.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm actually really good, thank you. Feeling really positive.
Okay, that's good on a Monday morning.
Definitely.
How was your weekend? What did you get up to?
Yeah, fantastic. Highlight of my weekend has got to be the Boardroom Climbing Centre in Chester. They had a lights out event. So you go climbing, and then what they do at kind of 6:30 is they turn all the lights out and they issue head torches. And so you do all the climbing in the dark and they have DJs. And so it's a real kind of lively atmosphere. They had some climbing competitions and other bits. But yeah, it was really, really good fun.
Oh, my goodness. That's like, I didn't even know that sort of thing existed.
Yeah,
so this
right.
is indoor climbing. In the dark.
Yep.
Isn't it dangerous?
No. Because everybody obviously is already passed provisional tests to make sure that they're safe to climb on their own. And there is enough light, so you're okay. But with the head torches, it's no problem. And obviously, they've got a lot of staff there who were actually, you know, I was really impressed with how vigilant they were, just keeping an eye on all the groups of climbers. So it was really, really good night. I really enjoyed myself.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, crikey. That sounds like a topic to talk about on this show for the future. But we're not talking about that today. We're talking about seasonal affective disorder, which is a type of depression, isn't it, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, that's one way of looking at it. The depression is certainly one of the sets of symptoms of it. But when you realise that there's 21% of the UK population that are affected at some level by seasonal affective disorder, and most of them end up with what's classed as a sub-syndromal SAD, so they get the winter blues.
Yes.
So they just feel down. But it's more physical as well as mental, because it affects all sorts of parts of the body, as well as just the mood. But there's about 8%, about 2 million people get quite seriously affected by it.
Okay, so we're going to talk in more detail about how it manifests itself and perhaps things that we can do to help ourselves.
Absolutely.
if we think that we're suffering.
Yeah.
And this January has been, I mean, everybody is saying, you know, it just feels like it's been dark since Christmas.
Yeah, sure.
So I imagine that, you know, there's going to be a spike in the number of people that are feeling the effects.
And because with all the dull weather, all the rain, we've actually had a lot of dark cloud in the sky.
Mm.
So in winter, where we often get really nice bright blue skies, which that light level is really nice for us, even though it doesn't help our vitamin D, as I'll explain a bit later. But, you know, just having that light is really good. And we've not had that. It's just been wet, dark, depressing, and yeah, it's been a hard one.
Yes, and everybody that you meet is going, oh, you know, there's not a lot of positivity about. So anyway, we're gonna change all of that, hopefully, over the next hour. So do stay tuned if you think that you or somebody that you know or care about is having the winter blues, as we call them. I guess the first thing that we really need to do, Ben, is talk about what is it? We call it the winter blues, but what is actually happening with us when we're experiencing this?
I mean, it's quite a complex part of our body chemistry, if you like, because our vitamin D levels, which is the main thing that people kind of recognize with seasonal affective disorder, vitamin D actually acts more like a hormone in our bodies rather than as a vitamin, strictly.
Okay.
And there's a gland in our brain called the hypothalamus that is affected by our hormones, and it then has a cascade effect around the rest of the body. And so if we spend too long in literally out of the light, then we're going to be affected by that because it will change our hormone basis. And really easy examples of this, people that are shift workers, especially people that are night workers, mm-hmm. will recognize that they can end up with a lot of interesting symptoms that are about light deficiency, but really it's about a hormone imbalance within the body. And although we think a lot about our hormones being related more to our reproductive functions, actually we've got hormones hormones doing all sorts of stuff in the body. And so our mood levels, our energy levels, our libido, our cognitive function, even our kind of social confidence can be affected by these levels of these hormones.
Right. So it's complex, isn't it? It is complex. It's not just a case of feeling a bit fed up. There's loads of stuff going on. And I guess that the polar opposite of that is when we're in the summer, or if we go on holiday, or we go somewhere hot and we feel buoyant and our energy levels go up and we just feel great.
Absolutely.
That's because we've got I always think, you know, I want the warmth of the sun on my skin, you know, just to make me feel that little bit better.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing, I guess.
Yeah. And interestingly, there is a syndrome that's basically the counter opposite of seasonal affective disorder, where you've had too much sun. And we're not just talking about heat stroke, but there's almost like a more manic side that comes in. So if we think about seasonal affective disorder as being a low state or a depressive state,
yep.
You know, we can get this opposite, this kind of manic energy, almost like too much going on.
Wow.
And, you know, literally our brain will start to boil. So it can be quite excessive. So it's about the right balance of everything as well.
Okay, gosh. I like the sound of the hyper one. I think I prefer that. I'll just get out in the sun. So it's vitamin D.
Yeah, that's the key nutrient that's involved in that. But vitamin D also has a lot of cofactors. There are a lot of things that work with it. So in the winter, because of how the low light levels affect us, and just to give a real understanding as well, when we're talking about the way that the sun affects us, because of the latitude that we live in the UK, any time between the autumn equinox at the end of September and the spring equinox in March, the angle of the sun is too low for us to produce any vitamin D. So you could, you know, if it's a sunny day in October, in November, in January, February, you could be in your Speedos in the garden for as long as there is light and you will not produce a single drop of vitamin D, because the angle of the sun is not high enough for that reaction to take place within our skin, which is often why that craving is there for that winter sun. And we only store about 3 months of vitamin D. So that's really dependent on us making sure that in the summer we've had enough light to get our levels up, so that by the end of September, when we'll stop producing it, we've got enough to get us through to at least January. And then obviously we can supplement through diet and other areas as well. And again, we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along.
But I think an important point that we must make is we're not talking about lying in the sun, burning your skin.
Absolutely not.
It's light.
It's light.
Yes.
Yeah. So actually, even when it's overcast, even when we're not in direct sunlight, we're picking up that response during that kind of March to September time period. But outside of that, it won't happen. And in fact, you only need about 20 minutes of light during that kind of time period in the summer to produce therapeutically what's about 20,000 international units of vitamin D, which is a really, really good strong dose. So that's often why we feel so much better in the summer.
Okay.
But you see, we also have the problem that so many of us these days, we spend a lot more time working inside. We spend a lot more time stuck inside.
Yes.
So we don't actually get the light production that we would really benefit from, as we would have maybe 200 years ago, you know, and pre-industrial revolution, when a lot more of our work was outside anyway.
Yes. Yeah. So being outside on an overcast day in June, even if it's not really sunny, you'll be getting more light.
There's enough light coming through at the right angle to be stimulating the system, for sure.
And I'm sure there'll be lots of people listening, perhaps listening at work. And, you know, it's a regular thing now that people are at work indoors, often in rooms with no windows.
Yeah.
And at lunchtime, you might go outside to get a sandwich or just get some fresh air or whatever.
Sure.
And you go, oh, it's raining, or oh, it's this.
Sure.
We've all been through that.
Yeah.
And you know, you just think, why do I spend all my time in a room with no windows? Windows seem to be getting smaller in this world.
Yeah.
And the time that we spend indoors seems to be getting higher.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, tricky one. Okay.
And a lot of people don't really take the opportunity during their lunch breaks to just go and have a walk out as well. It's surprising how many people stay sat at their desks, which again, the lack of movement in the body affects the lymph system, which also has a knock-on effect on our energy and our mood as well. So there's quite a complex series of factors that are all contributing together.
And I think that's a really interesting one. That's one of my sort of bugbears, is that people, you know, we have a tendency to spend time our desk at lunch, eat our sandwich at our computer, you know, even snack. I mean, I've seen people, you know, who work in shops and they're eating their lunch behind the till. It's not good for us, really, is it?
Not at all. No, we need that break in the routine. A, we need to move. You know, the body has got to move. And it's one of the key ways of helping seasonal affective disorder is exercise. So movement is so important. Get an opportunity to rest the eyes, because we get into this habit of staring at this screen that's about 2 foot away from us. And it really narrowly affects the vision and affects the muscles in our eyes and our brain and all sorts of stuff. So we need to get out, look at some different stuff, move around. It has a massive effect on our health. Just very, very simply.
Right. Okay. Ben, how might we recognize if we are, I hate using the word suffering, because experiencing this disorder, how does it manifest itself? What are the symptoms?
Sure. As I mentioned, about 21% of the UK population has some level of winter blues. So I think the first thing to be aware of is whether or not you just find the winter more difficult. You know, whether or not you find that your energy levels are lower, whether or not you feel that your mood is just not as bright. You might find that you've got sleep disturbances, so you don't wake up feeling refreshed and you've been restless during the night. That's very common. And so there can be anxiety, there can be loss of libido, there can be overeating as well. It's very common for carb craving, sugar craving to be going on. And I know a lot of people think, well, it's winter, I'm kind of, I'm cold, I'm fortifying. But it's also an aspect of seasonal affective disorder. And I think this is why so many people are affected by it, is that those little bits are in there as
well. It's that sort of comfort food. I mean, I'm guilty of that. Suddenly I start craving things that I wouldn't normally
absolutely
want. Mashed potato and custard.
The body's looking for things that it can't find. It's trying to replace what the sunshine isn't giving you. And so it's kind of asking, come on, I want more. Find that thing for me,
But can you ingest vitamin D?
Yes.
You can?
Yes.
Okay. I thought it was only produced by light and sun, but you can...
Absolutely.
Okay, all right.
And this is why, especially in the Scandinavian countries, there's a very big tradition of pickled fish and oiled fish. So things like pilchards and sardines, anchovies, pickled herring, mackerel. So all of that stuff, all of those good fish, nice oily fish. So even trout and salmon, to a degree, have got good levels of D3 in them. And it's very, very specific that it's vitamin D3 that we're wanting to try and consume, because vitamin D2, which sort of 20 years ago, if you were buying vitamin D supplements, that's what you would get, actually needs another nutrient to convert it into the active hormonal form of D3. So you can actually just consume D3, and, you know,
it's a one-stop shop.
So, you know, and there are a few ways of doing that.
Okay, because, I mean, it's fascinating, isn't it? Because also, in the summer, I know that my hair grows quicker, my nails grow quicker. You know, there's all, when I'm getting lots of sunlight and lots of fresh air, and yet everything does just seem to slow down a little bit in the winter. I'm reluctant to call it depression. Could we call it low mood, perhaps?
Would that be?
Because I'd hate people to, you know, be listening and thinking, oh, well, you know, this means that I'm a depressive. And the label that they might fear becomes attached to that. This is low mood.
But also, it's
not a mental health issue.
No, not at all.
It's a physiological issue.
But it is important to realise, more than anything else, that there is a seasonal shift to it. So basically, from March, April, it will go away. And, you know, come November, December, it will come back. So if you're seeing that yearly cycle, and you almost, you know, I know a lot of people, and I have a lot of clients that actually, I dread the winter, you know, because they know their mood will go down. So we just make sure that their vitamin D levels and their sources of vitamin D are right, that they're getting enough sun exposure leading up to that, and so on. And it will lead through, for a small percentage of the population, through to what could be clinically diagnosed depression or anxiety. And it's important to realise that they could counteract that and not need to use any antidepressants or any other substances of that nature, if they just do a little bit of planning and a little bit of prep and make sure that they're looking after themselves adequately.
Okay, so I suppose the key thing is... people recognizing and doing a bit of self-diagnosis in
a way. Absolutely, yeah, sure.
How can we do that?
I've made it easy for Calon FM listeners today. And on my Facebook page, which is Integral Patterning with Ben Calder, I've put a quiz on there. So you can actually go on and just click on the link for the self-diagnosis quiz. And it'll take you through 10 questions that will help you understand whether or not you might be suffering from seasonal affective disorder.
Okay.
And they include things like, again, that change of mood that's especially there in the winter, food cravings, especially for the sugary carby kind of end of the spectrum, and also that increased need for sleep. You know, I could stay in bed all day, but actually I'm quite restless when I get to bed.
Yeah.
So things like that are really worth looking at. And again, it's that seasonal match. I'm not like this in the summer, but I am like this in the winter.
So if you're like me and my husband says that my bed is my favorite place in the whole world, because I love my bed, doesn't matter what time of year it is. But if that's not normal, if you usually are, you know, have your night's sleep and are rested and get up and get out. You know, but I suppose also you have to be mindful that when you know you're going to have to scrape the car and get ice before you can go to work and it's dark and all of that.
Sure.
But it's recognizing what's normal for you and what's you just feeling a bit hard done to and what's actually a bit more than that, I suppose.
And again, it's the persistence of that, you see. And as I mentioned, you've got about 3 months' store of vitamin D. So for most people, they're going to start kicking it around November, December. So if you're really aware of that kind of from November, December, all the way through until about March time, end of March, you know, that's my period of feeling that I don't want to get up. But in the summer, 6 a.m., sun's up, I'm bright, I feel good, let's go, then you're more likely to be seasonal affective rather than that just being the way you are.
Yeah.
You know, because some people just don't like getting up, do they?
I don't. I hate getting up. Even if I'm going on holiday and I'm going to be getting on a plane, I don't want to get out of my bed.
No, sure.
And I'm not lazy, because once I'm up, I'm fine. It's just that I always say it's the bit from the bed to the door of the bedroom. That's my problem.
Yeah,
anyway,
I'm with you there.
So we've got ways of finding out if we're experiencing SAD, SAD. Exercise is good for us.
Absolutely.
And this is more than just being outside, although generally speaking, if you're exercising often, you're going to be outside.
Yeah.
So what's that going to do to us, and what should we be doing? How much and when and where and how?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be complex or difficult. It doesn't have to mean gym memberships or anything else. Because part of what we're getting with seasonal affective disorder is lethargy. And part of that is because we're generally moving less. It's dark, it's wet. The weather, you know, this is England, come on, you know.
We're in Wales.
UK. An old friend of mine said to me, you know, if you didn't run in the rain, you would never run in the UK. You know, you have to get out and, you know, because the weather's quite poor. But part of the problem is that our lymph system, which is moving the toxicity around in our body, is getting more congested. And so typically in the winter, we're being affected by more bacteria and viruses because of the nature of the environment. And so, you know, it's one of the things that vitamin D is important for is our immune system. So we need to make sure that we're moving. Now, the simplest stuff to do actually is 10 minutes of shaking. So if you just stand up in any place that you are and literally just like you're shaking around, like you're bouncing on the spot, shake your arms, shake your legs, do that for about 10 minutes and it'll just get the whole lymph system moving. If you're really keen, you do it for 30, 40 minutes, you'll end up with a really big release of endorphins. So you'll feel fantastic for it.
But so that could be dancing as
perfect.
Yeah, energetic dancing.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
And it doesn't need to be too vigorous. You know, it's not like you need to be running around like a wild banshee kind of having fun. But, you know, as long as you're moving, so a brisk walk, short cycle, you know, a bit of swimming. So anything that's going to be cardio in nature and get the body moving.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, one of the things I recommend more than anything else for it is Qigong. You know, it's something that I'm really passionate about. And it's just so good for so many aspects because you're including mindfulness in with it as well. So yoga practice would be really useful, Pilates, anything along those lines that's getting the body to squeeze and release and just allow things to flow better.
So okay, so what is Qigong if people don't know?
It's a little bit like Tai Chi, so it's the easiest way to recognize it, but it's a lot simpler to learn and it's not so formal. And actually Tai Chi is technically a martial art, so although we learn it mainly for health in the UK, it's really a martial practice, whereas Qigong itself has a number of branches, one of which is medical, and there are a number of medical Qigong hospitals in China where what they prescribe describe is different types of Qigong. So the exercises are then suitable for different types of ailments. And there's plenty of information online about Qigong and lots of free exercises you can do on things like YouTube and so on.
Okay, all right. So that's another tool in our toolkit, as
Absolutely.
It were. Okay. So the exercise thing, yeah, okay. So dance, hoover vigorously
yep.
around, do the whole house.
Dance and hoover together.
Dance and hoover. Yeah, yeah. I do that anyway.
Yeah,
I mean, that's normal, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so exercise will help yep. because it's helping the lymphatic system.
Yep.
Now, would massage have the same effect?
It will have a similar effect, but it won't be as useful in terms of you have a massage and that might serve you for 2 or 3 days, maybe a week, but then you would need to go and reapply.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, if you've got a partner who wants to do a massage for you every couple of days, great, perfect, go yep. for that. But it's not quite as good as stimulating your own system because massage is quite passive.
Yeah.
So it's good for helping stuff to move, but there's nothing like the bellows action of your own breathing, which also will help to squeeze all the digestive organs, which helps you absorb more nutrition out of your bowels anyway, but also helps to get rid of more toxicity out of the system. So you've got a kind of a double benefit there, plus all of the deep breathing that you get from oxygen is going to help to invigorate the system, improve the mood, you know, so that there's more benefits in exercise than in just doing massage alone.
Right. And really, it's thinking of us as an engine, really, I
Absolutely.
Guess, and making sure that all the moving parts are moving.
That's right. Yeah.
And
you know,
not
grease
seizing
the pistons
up.
And, yeah. you know, make sure that yeah. nothing's kind of tying up, because we then get calcification, we get toxicity, we get inflammation in those areas that we don't use. And it really is a case of use it or lose it, you know. So the more that we're exercising, the more actual beta endorphin, which is one of our happy chemicals that yep. we're going to be releasing, so we can counteract the mood side of seasonal affective disorder most effectively with exercise.
Do children get this?
They do, but a little bit less so. You know, and again, we might not see it quite in the depressive nature, but you will find with children that you get restlessness, you get anxiety, you get changes in performance and ability. You know, so there is kind of links into children doing this as well, but it tends to be recognized more in adulthood because adults are generally more sedentary
yes.
than children are. You know,
kids are always chasing around, aren't they? Even
you know,
yeah.
generally, yeah.
yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, at least 3 times a day, they're let out the classroom and. You know, they tend to go and have a bit of movement around. Unless it's raining, they tend to be kicked outside, whether or not they want to be, and they will move. So in a way, they tend to benefit more than us. I mean, I don't know anybody who's got an employer that will make them go outside 3 times a day unless it's raining.
No.
You know, so
no.
they kind of are counteracting it more naturally than we are. But I think we're seeing more of it in children these days because, again, there's less activity in children in general, and they are spending more time in front of TVs and gaming consoles and so on. Mm. So they're not doing as much exercise, and you know, we know that childhood obesity rates are rising because of this as well.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's interesting. Where can people find you? Because obviously you can help.
Absolutely.
So where can people, we're going to put your details on our Facebook page, but where can people actually get in touch with you and have a chat and see?
If anybody who's been listening to the show today and maybe thinks they've got seasonal affective disorder or they've gone onto my Facebook page and taken the quiz there, then actually come and see me and let's assess whether or not you need additional vitamin D supplementation, whether or not you need to make some changes in lifestyle. And you can do that at the Chester Wellness Centre, which is on the Wrexham Road just by Chester Business Park, or also at my centre in Shrewsbury, which is Centre for Integral Health, and that's integralhealthshrewsbury.com. So you can just come and see me at either of those locations, and we can actually use some kinesiology to assess whether or not it's vitamin D that you're lacking at the moment, and then what would be appropriate for you to be able to replace that with. But we can look at your kind of body biotype as well to see whether or not it's a diet issue, is it another nutrient issue, is it something else that's going on, because you may feel like you've got some of the symptoms of SAD, but it might not be that for you, it could be other stuff as well, but we can check that out for you and help you out with that.
Okay, all right. And so the details will be on the show's Facebook page. And what one piece of advice, if somebody's been listening and they're thinking, I think this might apply to me, or I'm pretty sure this doesn't apply to me, but there's something wrong. What one piece of advice would you give to anybody listening?
Cut the sugary, carby, processed food and get more exercise.
Okay, that sounds, that's really straightforward.
Yep.
And you might lose a bit of weight as well in that as well.
If you're lucky, yeah, if you push it hard enough,
if you push it hard enough, okay. So exercise and try to resist those cravings for the whole rice pudding, mashed potato, custard, all of those things that I want.
Sure, dairy milk chocolate.
Dairy milk chocolate.
Skittles, Coca-Cola.
Skittles definitely are, they're my thing. Did you know? Okay, Ben, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
And don't forget that you can, if you're a regular listener to the Diet, Health and Fitness show, then you can hear Ben talking about all sorts of other things with Tracy and Denise. So do check that out.